Welcome back to the Pete Murray Show. My guest on this afternoon's programme is Stephen Kendall Lane, who's here telling us strange stories of the unexplained. And the question I put to you, have you ever heard of a similar bizarre tale? Perhaps you've even been involved in one. The number to ring is 819-8111. We go straight to a caller. It's David of St. Albans who'd like to put a question to you. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Pete. I'd like to make a couple of points about the Philadelphia experiment. First of all, Stephen mentioned the green mist, which seems to have cropped up in several different stories. And was it possibly a coincidence that this green mist came up while they were doing the experiment and caused the disappearance? And also, if they were doing these experiments, why have they not continued to do these experiments since the Second World War? Because people aren't usually put off by one setback, you know, such as something going wrong. They still want to try and find out what went wrong to make it work properly.
Well, I can't answer that, really, any more than anybody else can. If they are doing it, then they're keeping it very quiet. I think it doesn't work, or certainly the Philadelphia experiment didn't work. Primarily, I suppose, because so many people died. If you are going to try to make something invisible, I agree, it could be very, very useful. There may be other reasons why you know, this isn't possible. I mean, all I can do is tell you, as indeed long before me, Charles Berlitz told the world. You know, he investigated this thing and allegedly it happened. The green mist, well, this is the point I'm making, that on various different occasions, as way back in 1932, with Admiral Byrd, he talked about a green mist. I don't know. It's the unexplained. I cannot explain it. But your point is well made, that it would be very useful if one could make something completely invisible. Certainly, if the Americans or anybody else did succeed in doing it, I don't suppose they would tell us they've done it anyway.
No, I don't suppose they would for my own. David, thank you for your call. We go to Al of Sydenham. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello.
Hello, Al.
Hello, Stephen. Yeah, I'm a little surprised that you've quoted Mr. Berlitz. I thought it was well acknowledged that Mr. Berlitz is the sort of man who gives genuine research is a bad name. I have read a couple of his books years ago, and really he doesn't apply any sensibility. He starts talking about time warps and things like that instead of applying what scientists call the principle of Occam's razor. You're familiar with that, I presume.
Will you explain to everybody what Occam's razor is?
Well, basically you choose the simplest solution and you carry on choosing the simplest solution and discarding those until eventually you reach one, and as soon as you find the first plausible explanation, you stop at it. I mean, you quote the book.
But he doesn't, does he?
The Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, but, I mean, nobody has given a plausible explanation. This is the whole point. I mean,
well, have you read the research of Mr. Lawrence David Cush?
What does he have to say?
Well, he's somebody who's actually done original research on the triangle.
Mm.
And he's come to the conclusion that the triangle doesn't actually exist. That many of these stories have been handed down, misquoted. One guy who disappeared, allegedly in the triangle, turned up a couple of weeks later playing golf in Florida. It said that a lot of wreckage wasn't found. Wreckage has been found for many things. And when stochastic methods have been applied, it's found that no more ships have actually disappeared in this rather vague area, which can stretch for several thousand miles, and other places.
Yeah, I take you back to the point that I made, that one can only talk about what people have said happened to them. And, you know, people are going to get ridiculed if they're going to make something up.
Yes.
I mean, we take this guy, Captain Henry, that I was talking about. Why would a man, a retired naval captain, a man who was held in a certain amount of esteem in the local community, why would he come back from towing this barge across an area of the Bermuda Triangle and effectively invite people to ridicule
him. You say the Bermuda Triangle, but it's a very vague area.
That's absolutely right.
Why would he say that? Well, lots of reasons. I mean, you're assuming that responsible, intelligent people don't play jokes and tell lies. Piltdown Man was a practical joke by a very eminent person. Then added to that, you've got the fact that these are all subjective.
Piltdown Man, he was trying to make a point.
Well, no, I mean, these are all subjective impressions. When you subject these to scientific scrutiny, they just don't stand up.
You're falling into the trap.
No, it's not a trap.
Yes, it is, because what you're saying, Al, it's very simple to say, look, you know, you can explain away this, you can explain away the other. It's the points, it's those, if you like, happenings that you can't explain away. Out of every 100 reports of UFOs, probably 90% can be explained away because people think, ah, that must be a UFO, I shall report it. The fact, it's the ones that cannot be explained away. Well, it's the same with the Bermuda Triangle. Whenever a ship disappears or sinks or what have you, then yes, people are going to say, oh, that was in the Bermuda Triangle, therefore something strange has happened. And I take your point, and I agree with you entirely, that there are quite a lot that actually, can be explained.
Just because we cannot explain them doesn't mean there's time warps or anything like that. People disappear even in London every day, but that doesn't mean they've been kidnapped by aliens.
Yes, I know, but you can...
Charles Berlitz would probably say that about that girl who disappeared. What was Suzanne, the estate agent's...
And that's stupid, because what, I mean...
That would be Charles Berlitz's so-called theory that she'd been kidnapped by Martians and taken to another planet.
No, if you've got somebody who is saying, and in fact, perhaps more than one person, a lot of people, I mean, they're saying they saw this aircraft with 200 people on board, disappear.
Where are
these suppositions? Well, there are experiences that there was a whole regiment disappeared in the First World War.
Well, that is nonsense as well.
Why?
If you do the original research, sir, I think you will find that read Mr. Cush's book on the triangle to start with, and then you will revise what you think.
You're taking one.
No,
one
this is somebody who's done original research. Somebody who's not going around Chinese whisper style, quoting this, that, and the other. And Charles Berlitz has no more credibility than the Aetherius Society.
Look, all I'm doing is reporting what people have said, and I'm not nearly as frightened of the subject as obviously you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't.
I'm not frightened.
You know, you've got to open your mind, broaden your mind a bit, Al, and try to accept the fact that not everything has to be black and white, that there may well be things that we cannot explain. And if you are prepared to accept that, then you're going to get so much more out of things, because then you can go beyond that point where everything has to be black and white, and you can say, well, I admit that this is strange, that there shouldn't be, let us say, a parallel dimension, but if there was... Could what happened fit into that category? Yes, so therefore it's a possibility. And that's what, people who are prepared to write about these things and investigate them as far as they're able, those are the conclusions they draw. They don't say, this definitely happened. What people are saying is, this is what might have happened.
Thank you very much indeed for your call, Al. And as far as the Aetherius Society is concerned, I'm told on very good authority they do have credibility. Thank you very much indeed for your call.